and ladies, so today we are talking about the morning blessings. And we all know that there's two parts to a person. It's much more complicated. But in general, there are two parts to a person. There's the body and the soul, right? The soul is called the neshama. But truth is, it's much more complicated than that. And the Kabbalists say at least there's five parts to the soul. There are five parts to the soul. And the lowest part is called what's called the nefesh. And that's what the Torah calls it. The Torah says, Vayipach be'apav nishmat hayim. The Torah says that God blew into us the neshama. But it also says, talks about nefesh chaya. And a man became a nefesh chaya. So there's two different parts that the Torah talks about. And it says also, Ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei ha'mayim. So there's nefesh, which is the lowest part of the soul, which just keeps us alive, basically. A person who's alive in a coma has a nefesh. But he's unable to talk. Why is he unable to talk? He has no ruach. The next step is the ruach, which is called a wind. A ruach is the wind that Hashem blows into us. And the third level is a neshama, which is a very high level. Most people don't even have a neshama. You have to be worthy to have a neshama. So the nefesh, everyone has a nefesh. Anyone who's alive has a nefesh. Anyone who's talking, like me, has a ruach. But to get to the higher level, they're parts of the same thing. They're parts of the soul. They're three different parts of the soul, which most people, if we can get those three, we'll be lucky. We get all three, we're very lucky. And on Shabbat we get an extra neshama. It's called neshama yetera, an extra neshama. And that's why when the soul goes away, we feel depressed. And that's why we smell spices to refresh the soul. They're really smelling spices to refresh us. That's the reason why we do besamim after Shabbat. That's the reason for Havdalah, besamim. The besamim really has no connection to Havdalah. The truth is, you can smell besamim any time of the week. But the rabbi said, smell it, especially at the time when Shabbat's leaving, when a person's extra soul leaves. The person doesn't feel a difference between Shabbat and the weekday. He knows he doesn't have an extra soul. The person's got to be worthy to get an extra soul. It's not an easy thing. We have to be worthy to get these things. So, the comparison of the soul is to a battery. Right? Just like nothing works without a battery, the electronics don't work without a battery. The body will not work without a soul. And that's the difference between life and death in Jewish law. It's very hard to measure. You can't measure. How do you know if a person has a soul or not? So the answer is, if the guy's alive, it's a sign he has a low level, you know, nefesh at least. If he's breathing, it's a sign he has a nefesh. If he's not breathing, he doesn't have a nefesh. Today, there's other criteria like brain death and other things. We don't really go by breathing anymore. But breathing is one of the basic, that was a basic criteria of Judaism, of alive or dead. And the word neshama is related to the word neshima. Neshima is a breath. Linshom, to breathe. So neshama comes with breathing, because Hashem blew into us, our nostrils, nishmat hayim, the neshama of life. Hashem blew into us. Can you imagine? You make a clay figure, and Hashem blows into the clay. He blows the breath of life into the clay. So it's ashes to ashes, and dust to dust, but the soul, chelik elokam imal, is a portion of God above. Our souls come from Hashem. The little spark of God inside us, which keeps us going. When a person sins, their soul goes away. The neshama goes away. It's not there. The neshama cannot be sullied by anything. A person's soul cannot be sullied. But the nefesh can, and the ruach to a certain extent. So now, I talked about yesterday, a beautiful story of the Chafetz Chaim. For those who were there, who was there? A few people here. Let's see if you remember the story. The story is like this. Chafetz Chaim, he announced when he was in his 80s, he announced to the whole town, Radin. He announced to the town, he said,
I saw where he lived.
You saw where he lived, a little hut somewhere?
A little hut.
A little hut. So he announced to his whole town, I have a very important announcement for this whole town. At 3 a.m. in the morning. Imagine, 3 a.m. in the morning. So I said, if I made an announcement at 3 a.m., no one would come. Tell the shul, I have an announcement for 3 a.m. in the morning. I said, heck with you, Rabbi, we're going to sleep. Send us an email. But the Chafetz Chaim said he has announcement at 3 a.m. Very, very important. Everyone was wondering what he's going to say. He's going to announce the Mashiach came. Mashiach is coming. What's he going to say? So the whole shul is packed. 5 to 3, the whole shul is packed. They're all saying Tehillim. And he walks in, the old man walks in, the Chafetz Chaim. And he says the lines of this bracha, which we say every morning. Elokai, my God, neshama shenatata bi teora, the soul you gave me is pure. Ata barata, ata yatsarta, you created. The word barata means creation from nothing. You created it from nothing. Ata yatsarta, you formed it. You created it, then you formed it. Ata nafakta bi, you blew it into me, into my nostrils. You blew it into me. Ve'ata atid litelav imeni. You are going to take it away from me. We all know. You know, someone told me yesterday they're dying. I said, we're all dying. We just don't know when. That's all. Everyone's dying. You know, there's a beautiful story. It says Rabbi Riskin in Israel. He went to visit someone in the cancer ward. A rabbi's got a tough job. It's got to go. The guy's in a terminal cancer ward. And he saw one of his members was a professor of cancer. And was there. He says, I don't know how you do it, Rabbi. So the rabbi says, I don't know how you do it, professor. How do you work here every day? He said, why? He said, everyone's terminal over here. He says, you know, everyone is terminal in this ward. How do you work here every day? The rabbi asked the doctor, how do you work here every day? And the doctor says, why? He says, we're all terminal. We just don't realize it. We're born, we know. Definite destination. We're born and we're going to die. We know that. Everyone's dying. We're all dying. The question is when? Bezrat Hashem, we'll live 120 years. That's the Jewish. You know, I was on the bank the other day and they're talking to me about what's it called? Some kind of financial thing about retirement and this and that. He says, this contract expires when you're 99. I said, what happens after that? He said, we're Jewish. We live to 120. What do you mean? So he didn't have an answer for me. No, it expires when you're 99. Too bad. It's not for me. Okay. So we have to be positive. 120. Ad me'a ve'esrim. Tell everyone ad me'a ve'esrim. So he's telling them a whole drasha on Elokai Neshamah, 3 a.m. in the morning. You're going to take it away from me, my soul, you're going to take away from me. And then, you're going to give it back to me. Le'atid lavo, you're going to bring it back to me, le'atid lavo. You're going to bring back my soul to me, le'atid lavo. And then he stopped over there. And he says, my friends, he said, when God's bringing back our soul, when is God going to give back our soul? Le'tziyat ha'metim. When the dead arise, the soul which Hashem took away is going to come back into the body and revive the whole body. It's amazing. God, we're going to, hopefully, I'm going to see that sight of everyone getting up from the graves. Now, and there's a famous Rashi over there and Ramban, and they say, it talks about how the bones will go underground to Israel and get up in Israel. There's going to be subterranean passages, and that's why it's better to be buried in Israel, because then you don't have to go underground. It's going to be very painful for the bones to go underground. Anyway, I don't know how it's going to work. Okay, the rabbis talked about these things, which is very interesting, fascinating to know how they talked about these things, how the bones are going to travel underground, subterranean passages. So that's why it's good to be buried in Israel. It's a very big segula to buy a burial plot in Israel. It says, person who's ready for their death, don't die. If the people who are not ready for their death, die. The person, one of the segula for a long life is to have a burial place, to buy a spot. You buy a plot, now you can live a long time. it's a very strange. What does that mean? What I think it means is that a person has on their mind that they know this world is temporary. A person who knows this world is temporary doesn't need a reminder. People who don't know the world is temporary, they need Hashem sends them reminders. So we know this world is temporary. It's a temporary existence. So Chafetz Chaim's main point was, whatever we do to our soul comes back to us. It's not like we get a new soul, unsullied soul, a brand new soul. It's not. We get the same thing all over again. We're going to be the same people we were here. In other words, if we don't fix ourselves now, it's not going to be fixed for us. No one's going to fix it for us. A person who's evil in this world will come back evil. A person who's good in this world will come back good. In other words, we have to do the work now. Now's the time to do the work. We have to change ourselves now. It's so hard to change ourselves. It's so hard. I'm talking about in marriages. To be nice to each other. People get fed up with each other. You've been together 35 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. It's hard to be nice to each other. You see, it's the same face every day, every day, every day. Same nagging, the same groaning, the same mourning. It's all the same every day, every day. Yeah, you sometimes get fed up with it. So I want to change. I want a new face. No, you're lucky. You're lucky. Very lucky. So that's it. So the person has to. Huh? That's a person's midot.
Why did this message have to be done at 3 o'clock?
He wanted to wake them up. They were complacent. He wanted to tell them this is one of the most important priorities in our lives. You forget. Sometimes we forget what our priorities are. We forget our main priority in the life. The Vilna Gaon says we come into this world to fix ourselves. We come to fix who we are. We come to better ourselves, better our qualities. We all know our weak points. But are we working to?
We seem to feel that we're going to be here forever.
Yeah. Well, you know what Hashem reminds us. It says the Vilna Gaon, when his first hair turned gray, he tells his sister, he says, this is a reminder, my time is almost up. When your hair turns gray, you know it's a reminder. Hashem's giving a reminder to a person.
But isn't that the answer why the doctor doesn't mind working with terminally ill, because it also reminds him that his life is short?
I don't know. He just got, you get immunized to all these things. If you do a job, you just sort of lose your sensitivity, and that's the dangers of being a doctor. Some doctors don't care. They see a patient, okay, you got this and this and this, and this, very dry, very matter of fact. Because the truth is, it gets to you. I know it gets to me. If you have a soft heart, you see a person in pain, you empathize, and the empathy, it says, when you empathize with someone, it takes away 1/60th of their disease. Every time you go and visit someone with empathy, you remove part of their sickness because you empathize. You're feeling their pain. Hashem says, oh, the pain is shared. You took away a little bit of that pain.
Isn't there an expression, as long as the candle burns, you
can Yes, fix it. Exactly. I just read it yesterday. As long as there's a candle burning, you can fix. That's Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. I've seen many, many different opinions of where it came from. Most people say it's Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. And the Hasidim claim it's a Hasidic story of the Rebbe. He had a neighbor who was a tailor. In fact, the word ner, candle, we light a candle for the deceased. The word ner stands for nefesh ruach. Ner, nefesh ruach, is the two lower levels of the soul. We light a candle. Nun resh is nefesh. Nun is nefesh. Resh is ruach. The two levels of the soul. Nefesh ruach. So we have to realize Hashem gave us the soul. Our purpose is to fix ourselves, our soul. The soul which we have, we have to fix. Now there's different levels of the soul, we said. But there's a part of the soul which is actually ours. Most of the soul is not ours. Most of the soul can be recycled. It's like a battery. You use part of it, you get, that's your part you use. The part you don't use comes back in someone else. The soul keeps on splitting. All our souls came originally from Adam. Adam Rishon, he had a massive soul. All our souls from him, parts of him. That's why we have the same tendencies as Adam. We have the same exact tendencies, propensities of evil as Adam Rishon did. And that's what we have to fix. So anyway, so we have to realize our souls are a portion from Hashem. We have a divine core of spiritual life that makes us godly in its essence. What does that mean, godly in essence? We are creators, just like God created. We can create to a certain extent. We can create human beings. We have the power to create, which is amazing. Think about it. Can you imagine buying a car that can reproduce? You buy an art, a work of art, and it can reproduce. You put two works of art together, they reproduce. That's a famous Dubna Magid's parable, right? He went to someone, and he tells a parable, he says, the parable is, the guy goes to his neighbor, he says, can I borrow some paper plates from you? So sure. So he borrowed two paper plates, the next day he gave him back three. He said, you gave me two? He said, yeah, but they reproduced, they gave me three. And the next day he borrowed some cutlery. He bought two spoons and two knives, and he gave back three. He said, what happened? He said, they reproduced, they had babies. And then every time he's raising the stakes, he borrows something bigger and something bigger until he voluntarily borrows his two beautiful gold cups. And the next day he says, no, he was expecting three. So what happened? So they died in childbirth. He said, but you, how can they die? Cups don't die in childbirth. He said, listen, when I told you they had babies, you accepted it. So now I tell you they die in childbirth. So that's the dangers, he says, the Dubna Magid says, of adding mitzvot. When you add mitzvot, you always think now you become the boss and you come to take away. So you add. That's why Torah says, don't add and don't subtract. So we have mitzvah not to add the mitzvot. Anyway, we have to realize that we are able to create. Hashem gave us the power to create, which is a spiritual power. It's a spiritual energy. So what's the connection between Elokai Neshama? God, you gave me the soul. What's the connection between God and the soul? So the rabbis bring many different connections. Number one, Hashem fills the universe, our soul fills our body. The soul is everywhere. What does that mean? Every portion of the body has a little bit of a neshama in it. That's why some people, they get sick. In those days, they knew which sickness is linked to which part of the soul and how to fix it, spiritually. It says, there was a book called the Book of Refuah, called the Book of Healing, which the king Chizkiyahu hid. He hid it, and the rabbis praised him for hiding it. So the question is, why do they praise him? So different opinions. Rashi says because they weren't relying on God anymore. Everything they could fix themselves. And they wouldn't pray to God for someone who's sick. They just go to open the book and say, oh, sickness, let's fix it like this. Tosfot says because it had remedies and it had physical remedies. And those physical remedies don't work today. The physiology changed. There's different opinions over here. What's going on over here? But it's interesting to note that according to the Kabbalists, that the soul fills every part of the body, and therefore a person knows when there's a malady in part of the body, it has a spiritual side to it. If you can fix that spiritual side by doing teshuva, other things, then you can heal that part of the body. So number one is God fills the universe, our souls fill our body. Number two, both Hashem and our souls can see everything. How does a Navi become a Navi? By linking to their souls. It's not so easy to think to our souls. You've got to start talking to our souls. We have to talk to our own souls. We're not communicating with our own souls. It's like a computer problem, right? Where the hard drive doesn't talk to the computer, and the soft drive, whatever, the memory doesn't talk. There's a communication problem. So same thing with us. We have an internal communication problem. How do we talk to our souls? And the answer is our consciences are our souls. The conscience is talking to us continually. And usually we say, shut up. Don't talk to me. I don't want to hear. It's guilt. I don't guilt. Don't tell me anything. Yes. Any questions? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
that's called karet. Karet is the cutting off of the soul.
So there's no way to get it back.
There is. Teshuva. There's no.
Will get it back.
Yeah.
How does a person know they lost it if they just?
Very simple. A person says, "I don't feel spiritual. I come to shul, I don't feel anything. Mm-hmm. Don't feel anything. I pray, I don't feel God." That's a sign their soul is cut off, and they have to work very hard to reconnect the connection. They have to reconnect the connection. A person doesn't feel spiritual. He goes to shul. Praise. Here's the rabbi's speech. I'd rather be in a baseball game. There's many people like that. They don't feel anything spiritual. And one of the ways the soul is cut off is what we eat. People don't realize is that there is a big connection between kashrut and the spiritual sensitivities. So a person that doesn't keep kosher really ruins the spiritual sensitivity of the person. We don't really realize that. We have no... That's what the Torah says. You are defiling yourself by eating this food. Person defiles themselves, the soul can't exist in that body. So it's a very important idea. And that's one of the ways to corrupt a person is by feeding them non-kosher food. Corrupts a person. So the neshama can see everything. The person's soul goes up at night. And some rabbis, they could direct their souls to which academy they would go and learn. Yeah, that's a great... I can't do that. I wish I could do that.
So you can learn during the night.
Yeah, learning during the night. The soul is refreshing itself. We just don't know what's going on. So if we could connect with our soul somehow, then we could get prophecy. Maybe it's a very high level. Very high level. Hashem sustains all. The neshama sustains the body. So in a sense, the neshama is a little tiny piece of Hashem, sustaining us, the individual. Both Hashem and our neshama are pure. That's the high level of our soul. The neshama is pure. Both Hashem and our neshama reside in hidden chambers. Usually the neshama is really in the brain. A person's neshama is in the head, because that's the highest part of the soul. The different parts of the soul. We said the three parts of the soul. Three parts of the soul. So we said the ruah, the nefesh is the lowest, which is everywhere. The nefesh is everywhere in the soul. It keeps the person's body alive. So every part of the body is alive. So there's a neshama, there's a nefesh inside all the parts of the body. The ruach also gives the person the power to speak. It's also in the upper parts of the body. The nefesh, the neshama is the highest level, it's in the brain. Okay, but we don't know where it is exactly. It's in the brain. How do you can't even see it. You can't measure it. There's no way. Till now, science has not been able to see or detect the soul. The truth is they have. They just don't realize what they're looking for. The fact that the person is alive. The soul is there. Obviously, there's a part of a soul there. Just we can't measure it. We can't see it. We can't detect it. However, there is some kind of way of measuring auras today. Aura. I know there's a thing on Hidabrut. I don't know if you know the Hidabrut channel. The Hidabrut channel is like an outreach channel on Israeli TV, but it's also on the internet. Hidabrut.com.org. Hidabrut. And there's a rabbi, what's his name?
Cornhouse. I listen to
Cornhouse. Who's the main guy? Anyway, he showed a program once of a professor at Hebrew University, I think it was, or Israel, the Tel Aviv University, who took various pictures on infrared pictures, and he started seeing auras of different auras when a person is doing a mitzvah and when they're not doing a mitzvah. And you see the bright lights when a person is doing a mitzvah. It like shines up. It's amazing. So there you can see that something's happening. Spiritually, the person is happy. You can see a difference in the aura of the person.
Rabbi,
yes?
Excuse me. Ambush Clinton something reminds me that the age of 60 has something to do with...
Yes. A person lives past the age of 60 has to make a party. Because it's a sign that they won't... Because the karet also involves the body being cut off as well. Death. But early death is a sign of karet. Early death. A person who lives past the age of 60, it's a sign there was no karet on that person. The soul is not cut off. The soul is not cut off. Karet means cut off. The Torah says for certain bad, so a person says he eats on Yom Kippur. Karet. The soul is cut off. A person eats chametz on Pesach. Karet. Cut off. Person has relations with Anita. It's karet, yeah.
Well, I thought, you know, when a person's mission is complete here, they could be very young.
Yes, true. That's why we don't know exactly what's going on. But it's a good sign. A person lives 60, it's a good sign. So it's good to make a party. Some people say 70, so make a party when you're 60, make a party when you're 70, make a party when you're 80, especially. I mean, if you're 100, make a big party. Always the main thing is good health, and the main thing is a good attitude to life. And that's really the key, the good attitude to life. People with a good attitude to life, that's a healthy mind and a healthy body. Very, very important to have a healthy mind in a healthy body. And to have a heavy, healthy soul, the Rambam says, a healthy soul in a healthy body. So we tell Hashem, thank you, Hashem. The soul you gave me is pure. Thank you for this power, this energy you gave me. You gave me a little bit of your energy. Can I imagine? We can create. We have the power to create. We can create beings. Amazing. We have tremendous energy. We can learn Torah, which is amazing. We can fix ourselves in this world. God gave us the power, the energy. And there's no limit to the power of the soul. That's the trouble. We just don't use it, that's all. The soul is unlimited. You can tap in and get more. You get more and get more and get more. There's no limits to it.
But how spiritual can we raise our neshama?
And the answer is, the answer is unlimited. I just said it's unlimited. But we just don't try.
What do I have to do it? Mitzvot.
Mitzvot, masim tovim. Good deeds. Good deeds, mitzvot, and communicating with God. That's a very, very important. It's one of the most important things we can do in our lives is start communicating with Hashem. And that's what tefillah is all about. The trouble is we don't use it properly. I'm going to talk to Hashem 24 hours a day. It's not just during tefillah. During tefillah is very important. But all their problems, I always communicate to Hashem. Hashem, help me. Hashem, help me. Hashem, help me do this. Hashem, help me do that. A person's driving. Hashem, help me. I should be successful in driving. I should be safe. Every second of the day, we need Hashem. And that's how a person feels. Hashem is with them every second of the day. You're walking down the road. Hashem is with you. If you're not talking to Hashem, there's no communication. It's like a marriage. There's no communication. It dies. Same thing with our relationship with Hashem. There's no communication. The person's going to get used to communicating with God all the time. But we have to realize also we can communicate with God wirelessly. That's amazing. First wireless communication. It's a local call. Think about that. Today it's free call. Call to Hashem. 1-800-GOD, right? It's not bad. It's a free call. And not only that, He answers us in different ways. God answers us. We have to look for the answer. 100%. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no. That's all. If we're alive, that means God answered us. Another day, give you another day. Give you another day. Pirkei Avot, last week, chapter 3. Beloved is man who is created in the image of God. Hashem loves us. He created us in His image. What does that mean? He gives us a soul. So every morning we thank Hashem for restoring our soul to the body. Whenever we wake up, it's a kindness. It's like the revival of the dead. You have to realize that. A person sleeping, they're like, out of it. When you wake up, it's like Tiyata Metim. It's a small revival of the dead. Small little bit of a revival of the dead. So we regain our consciousness. Baruch Hashem, we're so lucky. We regain our ability to move. Thank God for that. We can move. You know, it's hard to move sometimes. You're really exhausted. It's very hard to move. But thank God. God gives us the ability to move. You know, I was on a flight to England once. And I didn't walk. I was an idiot. I got a DVT in my leg, blood clot. And so I advise anyone going on a journey, always take some of these little aspirins and walk and wear these special stockings. They're very, very important. So I didn't know all these things, and especially drink a lot of water. So I got a DVT and I couldn't move my legs. I tell you, it was a strange feeling. It's like a rock. There's no circulation. The leg swells up. So I went to the doctor in England and he took out a measuring tape. And my wife started bursting laughing. What's going on? He's like a tailor over here. He measured the leg. He says 4 inches it swelled up.
Wow.
It swelled up 4 inches. And he said straight away, he said DVT. It's a blood clot. I didn't believe him. So I went for ultrasounds. There were 4 blood clots. So, but it's amazing to think, you know, every day we're so lucky. Anything can happen anytime. And we're just so fallible, we're just so weak, we just don't realize it. When we're strong, we feel like we can take on the world and do anything we want. And Hashem says, yeah, I'll teach you a lesson. Don't become proud. It's not you. It's Hashem gives us power to do everything. Hashem gives us power to move our muscles and move our limbs. It's miraculous. So a person wakes up in the morning, everything's working, Baruch Hashem, a million times. So we say a special bracha. God gave us the soul back, we're awake. And this is a little bit of the hint of Tikkat HaMitim. So every morning we see Tikkat HaMitim, you have to realize that. But so I don't believe in Tikkat HaMitim. You don't believe you wake up every morning? I wake up every morning? That's not Tikkat HaMitim. Oh yes, it is. On a certain level, on a lower level, it is Tikkat HaMitim. Because sleep is 1/60th of death, the Gemara says. Sleep is 1/60th of death. Imagine what death is going to be like. Death is going to be, you know, the person's out of it. Said out. But the soul lives on, Baruch Hashem. We have to believe. We have to believe. It's very important. Our belief creates our future. We have to believe it. We have to really believe it. It's a very important point. Not enough Jews believe. We believe in the afterlife. We believe the soul lives on. We believe we're going to see all the people who passed away. We believe it, 100%. The person's got to believe. We believe in Tikkat HaMitim. If the person doesn't believe in Tikkat HaMitim, not Tikkat HaMitim. Very simple. So our beliefs create our destinies. It's a very powerful message. Our beliefs create our destinies. Am Yisrael Chai, we believe. Am Yisrael will survive. Our beliefs create our destinies. Hashem says, you believe it, your family will survive. You believe you'll get up, you will get up. If you believe you have an afterlife, you will have an afterlife. It's very important to believe. Believe in God. You believe in me, I'll look after you. And it's very comforting. The same God who's the God over here is the same God over there. Nothing changes. The person is constants in life. God is the constant in life. The only difference is, over here we can change, we can grow, and there we won't be able to change at all. I was yesterday's Pirkei Avot, chapter 4, that this world is like a corridor before the next world. The next world is the main hall. It's like a wedding. Can you imagine? You go to the wedding, you see there's mirrors over there. As soon as you walk in, there's mirrors, you go fix your tie. Well, women do something else. Men fix their ties. And that's the corridor, that's the entrance to the wedding hall. We're at the entrance. We don't realize this small world is the entrance to a much bigger world. We don't really realize it. It's interesting because science today talks about there are different dimensions. It's amazing. And Judaism talked about it thousands of years ago. We're way ahead of them. They talk about different dimensions. And it talks about wormholes. You know what wormholes are?
Holes that can
run in space. No, those are wormholes. You're talking about in space time. In space time. In the curvature. You're talking about curvature of space time and different dimensions. There are entrances between dimensions. There's a hole between a dimension. You can go into one dimension to another. And today they say it's a black hole. But we say, Yaakov Avinu. En zeki in beit Elohim zeh sha'ar ha-shamayim. This is the gateway to heaven. He found the gateway to heaven. Where did he find the gateway to heaven? Where he slept. What do you mean? What's the gateway to heaven? There is Yerushalayim. The Temple Mount is a gateway to heaven. That's what we invented it. The Muslims took it from us. They said Muhammad jumped up from there to heaven. They took it literally. They took it from us. They robbed us. They stole our heritage. They're trying to steal our heritage. So Yaakov was the first one to say, "In zekiyim beit heaven zeh." Shar Hashemayim, this is the gateway to heaven. This, I found the wormhole. I found the hole to the higher domains. This is all the Shefa, the rabbis say, all the power of energy comes into this world through that area, and it comes and spreads all over the world. It comes from Yerushalayim. That's why when we pray facing Yerushalayim. That's the source of all the energy. It comes into the world. The other wormhole is Hebron. That's why it's called Hebron. Hebron is the word Chibur. Chibur is joining. Joint. Joining. Joint, so the joint between the two worlds. That's why Abraham Avinu wanted to bury his wife there. That's also a gateway to heaven. It's a different gateway to heaven in this world. Truth is, you can create your own gateway. We have to create our own gateways, but it's very hard. You have to create your own gateway, your own pathway to God. So every morning, we mention. Everywhere, God says, any place you mention my name, God says, I'll come and bless you. So we can create your own pathway to God by mentioning His name. We say, Baruch Hashem. You mention God's name. I'm not saying it, but if you do say God's name, God comes and blesses you. Every time you say Baruch Hashem, Hashem blesses you. It's a kind of tzikiyat ha-meitim. Why are we in this world? Why are we in this world? Says the Pasuk in Tehillim. Happy is the heart of those who seek Hashem. Psalm 105. Happy are those who seek Hashem. Happy is the heart of those who seek Hashem. You want to be happy? Seek Hashem. You seek Hashem, you're going to be happy. Happiness in life depends on knowing what we are here for. We are here to get closer to God, and we are here to utilize our lives fully. Versus life should be purposeful. It's very important. Today people talk about purpose. There has to be purpose. For a person to wake up in the morning, there has to be purpose. A lot of people don't want to wake up in the morning. They have nothing to do with their lives. They want to jump off the bridge. They want to drug themselves out of it. They don't want to be alive. They don't realize there's a purpose in life. They don't know what the purpose is. And the answer is the purpose in life is to get closer to God, because next life will get close. The person who wants to be close will get very close. And that's ecstasy. Ecstasy is not a drug. Ecstasy is feeling close to the power of God. That's ecstasy. David HaMelech says, what does he say? Echad she'alti me'ed Hashem. Only one thing I ask from God. Shifti ve'ed Hashem kol ha'imei chaya. I want to dwell in the house of God a little bit all the days of my life. L'chazot b'noam Hashem. To see the glory of Hashem, see the power of Hashem. So we have to, over here, I call it an acquired taste. It's an acquired taste. Spirituality is an acquired taste. If you get it over here and you enjoy it, then the next world is going to be a blast. Because you enjoy it. You enjoy spirituality. If you enjoy spirituality, next year, next world is going to be full of it. It's going to be a blast. But if you don't enjoy spirituality, next world is going to be hell. If you expect a country club full of golf, you're going to be disappointed. You expect beaches over there, you're going to be disappointed. You expect big houses, it's not going to be physical. It's going to be a spiritual world. So a person's going to acquire the taste now, so you can enjoy the taste later on. There's no acquired taste. So there's certain things that are acquired taste. If you don't acquire the taste, it's like learning Torah is an acquired taste. So it's very important to acquire the taste here, so we'll enjoy it in the next world. So the human soul is unfathomable. Why? Just why we can't fathom Hashem. So the soul is part of Hashem. So how can you fathom that soul? If you can fathom your soul, you can fathom part of Hashem. So Ramban says something very deep. God blew into our nostrils the breath of life. He says when you blow, you're actually blowing part of yourself. Hashem blew part of Himself into us. That's a very important idea. He blew a spark of Himself into us. We all, each of us, contains a spark of the divine, and that's why we have to give respect to every single human being. Why? Because they're all created in the image of God. They all have a spark of the divine of Hashem walking in them. Trouble is we can't find it sometimes. It's lost. In the materialism of the person, the divine spark is lost. So you see it when you see a child. You see a baby. It's a creation of God. People see it as a creation of God. When they grow up, they turn into monsters. That's the only problem. Some of them. You know, today I was talking today about the idea that the Omer, what does the Omer mean? What does Omer mean? Omer means a measurement. A measurement of what? The barley sacrifice. Barley. It was a barley sacrifice. Every day in the temple, they brought an omer of barley. Omer is a measurement. It's a measurement of barley in the temple. Measurement of barley. So Shavuot, what do they bring on Shavuot? Two loaves of wheat bread, which happened to be chametz as well. They brought chametz. Usually in the temple, you don't bring chametz. So Hashem says, "Don't bring me any seor and any honey on the altar. No chametz on the altar. chametz on them. The only exceptions are there's two offerings which have chametz in them. One of them is a Thanksgiving offering, and the other one is the Shavuot offering, chametz. But we don't bring them on the altar. They're not offered. They're eaten by people. They're brought to the temple, and they're waved in front of God. It's an interesting idea. The Omer Tenufa, it's called a wave offering. A Tenufa. What's a Tenufa? You give it to the Kohen, he holds it in two hands, and the owners will put their hands underneath. And even women, this is a very interesting point. The Kohen would go forward, backwards, right, left, up, down. That's a wave offering, and it was brought to God. And then he'd give it back to the owner to eat in Jerusalem. The owner had to eat it that day in Jerusalem. So for a Thanksgiving offering, you have to bring 40 loaves of bread. 10, 10, 10, 10 of different types. 30 of them are matzah. Different kinds. Fried, boiled, baked, matzah. Unleavened. And then 10 of them are leavened. And they're going to be eaten in Jerusalem. It's impossible for one person to eat them. So he had to bring his friends with him. And that's the origins of the Kiddush. When you want to say thank you, bring other people with you. So he had to bring friends with him to finish those 40 loaves. That day they had to finish the 40 loaves. And that was a chametz offering. And then Shavuot also is a chametz offering. Why did I say this? Because interesting, think about it. The Omer was from Pesach to Shavuot. And all this barley. Now barley normally is eaten by animals. Human beings don't want to eat barley. It's very coarse. It's not a good taste. Huh?
I love it.
You like barley bread?
Not barley bread.
What do you like?
I've never had.
Okay, barley, okay, so I'm saying. But it's very hard to eat the barley by itself. It's very hard. And to make it into bread. Barley bread is really disgusting. Huh?
It's a very good carbohydrate. Digests slowly.
That's right. And that's why it's good for animals. You know, I give them food and they eat it.
Yeah, but it sustains you barley.
Whereas wheat.
I never heard of barley bread. I never saw it.
Oh, yeah. Barley bread. Yeah, but they don't make it because it's not edible. I'm telling you, it's not.
Oh, that's why.
That's why it's not human. It's not human food. So what do we do? So barley every day of the Omer. When we have to Shavuot, we use wheat. Why? So the answer is before they got the Torah, even though they got out of Egypt, they still had animal food. What does that mean? Animal food? They're animal-like. A human being. It's very hard for a human being to perfect themselves, become human-like, without the Torah. The Torah, the morals, and the civilization. Civilizes the person. So before that, it was barley. That's animal fodder. After that, after the Torah is given, you eat wheat. Wheat is animal food. That's the symbolism. The symbolism is, without Torah, a person looks like a person, but they don't get to the level of a human being. Especially before the Torah is given. You don't realize that the Torah really has civilized the world. Before that, it was the rule of the jungle. If you read Hammurabi's code, if you're rich and you're powerful, you get away with murder. Literally, you get away with murder. You kill a slave, no problem, just pay. You get away with murder. And you can redeem. But yeah, okay. Okay, so, anyway, that's just a little bit of symbolism. So we see over here, it's important. We thank God for giving us back our soul. The soul keeps us alive. The soul gives us the properties to be able to connect with God. The next bracha is interesting. And that is, you give an hotel la sechvi. What's a sechvi? What's a sechvi? Literally, it's a rooster.
It's a morning.
It's a rooster. A rooster knows the difference between day and night. I went back. The rooster knows the difference between good day and night. The first thing you hear in those days, the rooster was the alarm clock. Drive you crazy. I don't know if you know. I've heard a rooster. Gosh, it's really nuts, crazy. This rooster is lunatic. He doesn't stop crowing. That's water here. So the rooster every morning is a rooster roaring off his head. And it's so hard to sleep when they hear that noise. It's a horrible screech. So we thank God for giving him the brains. Give the rooster the brains. But the truth is, it's not just the rooster we're thanking God for. Thank God for giving us brains. First thing we thank God, imagine. First thing we thank God for is our soul. The second thing we thank God for is the brains that God gave us. We know what time it is. You know, one of the worst things is part of Alzheimer's. You know what time it is. You know what day it is. What day is it? Sunday? I thought today was Thursday. No, it's Friday, Mom. No, it's Thursday. No, it's Friday. So thank God for giving us the brains. We have to thank God to distinguish between day and night, month, year, whatever it is. It's very, very important, very, very critical. So thank God for a brain. We have to thank God all the time. We have the power to think. We have the power to... The brain is one of the most complex computers, bigger than any of the world. More complex than any. To figure all the different functions of the brains. You can't make a computer have an emotion. You know, Microsoft tried to do something and they made a big mess. They messed up everything and they had to close the program. They tried to make a human-like thing which will talk to you like a human being. And what happened was, when you talk to it, you can influence it. So people taught it bad language and anti-Semitism. It's amazing how it came out, spewed all sorts of hatred. Then it shut down the whole thing. Because there's nasty people who want to teach bad things. And we have to realize, so that Hashem gives the ability to filter out bad. You can teach a child many bad things. The child will get conditioned to be evil. And that's how Hitler trained the SS. To be evil, to be cruel, to be barbaric. You can train someone. But we have the ability to think. We should be able to stop and say, listen, this is not good. This is not kosher. So the human being has invented computers, but computers cannot create a man's mind. We can create a computer, but the computer can't create a human mind. Imagine the human mind has the ability to think, has the ability to have emotions. That's amazing. The emotions are something which is very powerful. It's a very powerful, you know. Why did God create human beings with emotions? God doesn't have emotions, does he? And the answer is, the Torah says he does, but it doesn't really happen. Rambam says he has no emotions. He acts like he has emotions. God is above emotions. But he created us with emotions. Why? It's a very strange thing. And he tells us, use your emotions. You have to love me. You have to have Hashem al-Kecha. You have to love me. I want you to use your emotions towards me. I want you to use your emotions, positive emotions for me. But hate evil. He loves us, but not in the same way we love him.
But
that's an emotion. It's not emotion. It's a giving. That's the difference. So when we talk about love, we really mean hav. Ahava is hav, which is giving. And also ahava is gratia of one. 13. Ahava is 13. Echad is 13. The word ahava. Aleph, he, bet, he. Aleph is one. He is five. Bet is two. And he is five. So how much is that? 13. 13. Echad. Aleph is one. Chet is eight. Dalet is four. 13. Ahava brings to people binding. To Hashem says, I love you because you are one of me. You are one with me. And I give you as well. So you are united. That's what unity is. Unity is love. Unity is love. So husband and wife should coalesce into one. All of a sudden you find you have four legs. And four arms and two heads. If you think like one, you're okay. If you think like two, you got problems. It's like Siamese twins. Rashi says that Adam and Eve were created Siamese twins, back to back. Because there's a contradiction in the Torah between the first chapter and the second chapter. In the first chapter, it says God created them. The second chapter, it says Adam was alone. So Rashi says no contradiction. They were created, but back to back. They were Siamese twins, and that didn't work. And Adam felt alone. He couldn't see his wife. Right behind it. So then Hashem separated them. That was the rib. The rib was not a rib, it was a separation between the Siamese twins. And there's so much to know, right?
It's
don't worry.
You know it all.
I don't know it. Honestly, I don't. As Rabbi Eliezer said in those days, he said, I'm like a dog who licked from the ocean. There's an ocean of Torah out there, and you just lick as much as you can. So he was like, if he was like a dog who licked from the ocean, what are we? we don't even lick enough from him. Well, pray to him. Aye. Yes, there's a lot not known. That's what we spend our time to. So we have to thank Hashem. So we thank Hashem for the brains, the sechvi, which is the brains a person has. And in the language of the Gemara, of the Tanakh, the heart is called the sechvi. The heart is the seat of understandings. What does that mean? Not really the heart. The Rambam says when we talk about the heart, it really means the mind. The mind is really the heart. We don't really realize. Lev. When the rabbis say, the Torah says, love God with your heart doesn't love anyone. Your heart is just it's just a muscle. It goes bang, boom, 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 boom. Thank God. It just keeps on going, hopefully. And it just keeps on going. It's a miracle. That muscle just keeps on. Imagine. How many times a minute? 70 times a minute? 80 times a minute? Depends on your pulse, right? Keeps them pumping. Amazing. Thank God. Don't even think about it, you'll go crazy.
Right,
let it work by itself. It's automatic. It's on autopilot. The heart just is pumping, autopilot. You breathe, autopilot. It's amazing how Hashem made the body. All these functions are automatic. You don't have to think about it. If you think about it, you go crazy. You will your heart to pump, and you will your this and that. You'll slow it down. Don't interfere in it. It's automatic. The temperature in the body is the hypothalamus. It regulates the body temperature automatically. You're going to a hot room, you're going to a cold room. You don't appreciate these things are working non-stop. You know? It's amazing. It's a miracle. The human body is such a miracle. And the irony is, the biggest atheists are the biologists. It's one of the biggest ironies. I can't understand it. The biologists are the biggest atheists.
Maybe they know too much.
What they know is, they see the difference. They say, the DNA is the same, the rat, the human being. If you look at the molecules. There's a big difference. We have an Neshama, they don't. God gave us the soul. He didn't give the rat the soul. Baruch Hashem. So we have to thank God we have a heart. You have a mind. That's what it means. We also can thank God for the invention of the mechanical rooster. I don't know what I'd do without my mechanical rooster. It's better than a rooster, boy. You can switch it off. The rooster. The only way to switch off a rooster is put it in a dark room. Then it doesn't know. I think it's night. That's what they do. They fool the hens. The battery hens. The battery hens, they are on an artificial time. It goes on and off every 6 hours. So they're laying eggs 3 times a day. Imagine. They got them laying eggs 3 times a day. They're fooled into thinking it's day and night, day and night. Wait, poor hens. They're exhausted. Okay. To better understand this connection to the rooster, there's an interesting Gemara in Masachat Beitza. There are 3 bold creations. This is a very strange Gemara. Number 1, the Jewish nation among the other nations. Now, it's interesting today that we are still separate from the other nations. You know, Herzl made a big mistake. His mistake was he thought, if we create a state, they won't hate us anymore. The only reason why they hate us is because we are scattered with no state, no country. So we'll make a country, they won't hate us anymore. And here we have a country, and you know what? It's the most hated country in the world. Think about it. Last week they had a vote in the World Health Organization. This is wild. World Health Organization. Only 1 country was singled out for health abuses. In the whole world, everyone voted against Israel, except for 6 countries.
Wow.
6 countries in the world voted. Germany, France, and England, they voted in favor of this resolution against Israel, anti-Israel, in the World Health Organization. Only America, Canada, Australia, Papua New Guinea, Baruch Hashem, I can't help with that. Micronesia and 1 other country voted against this resolution against Israel. Imagine all the countries in the world voted that Israel is doing health abuse.
Where do they get their information?
Because they got it from the Arab countries. The Arab countries sponsored it. So anything they can pass, anti-Israel, and then all the other countries. So we're the most vile country in the world. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says there are 3 bold creations. The Jewish nation among the other nations. The Torah says, "Am levadad yishkon, u'bagoyim lo itchashav." You will dwell alone, and you will not be considered among the nations. It's so true. It's amazing. This is a wild prediction. A wild prediction. I don't know why anyone in their right mind want to be a Jew. Honestly. And the answer is that if you want to be special, and you want everyone to know you're different, you want to be a Jew. But if you want to be hated, it's a good vehicle to be. Be a Jew, you'll be hated by everyone. Okay, the 3 bold creations, the Jews amongst the other nations, the dog among the animals, and the rooster among the fowl. Why the rooster? Why the dog? Shouldn't it be the lion and the eagle? It's a rooster and the dog. So the answer is the dog excels in the quality of loyalty to its animal, master. The rooster senses the approach of the day and announces it loudly. The Jews are compared to both these creatures, which is similar to the dog, because even in exile we always remain loyal to God. And similar to the rooster, because even in the world at large is wrapped up in the darkness of materialism, we continue to proclaim God. So we're similar to the dog because we're faithful to God. With all the disasters, all the calamities around us, we proclaim God even in the darkness of materialism. Boy, I'm in overtime. Sorry, I'm very sorry. We proclaim this world's not a place to sleep away one's life. We need to achieve the Torah. and dispel the darkness. So both our brain and the rooster have the same functions, to alert us to the change of time and to the need to rise and shine in God's service. We're going to stop here.